I really am grateful to get to be here. I live down in New Jersey, and of course, I'm usually part of the New Jersey region, but I'm honored and glad to get to be here. Appreciate Sam asking. If you're a guest, I'm a guest, so if you don't like it, I'm just temporarily here. Come back next week, and maybe it'll be better. But I do appreciate getting to be here. You know, it is a very fun, special time of the year. Christmas time, in case you haven't noticed. You probably did because they started the ads on TV before Halloween this year. But it is a special time. You know, I like kids. We're talking about family today. I like fun things. Can I share with you as we start a few true bona fide kids letters to Santa? All right. Okay, here we go. Dear Santa, when it was Saturday, I thought I would be good the whole winter vacation, but I did not make it. Will you bring me something anyway? Dear Santa, please bring me a puppy. I asked for one last year, but got a baby brother instead. Dear Santa, sorry about the cookies and milk last year. I got tired of waiting for you. A couple more. Dear Santa, you better bring my pony this year or there will be consequences. A couple more. Dear Santa, how are you and the reindeer? I want a new football because my little brother always steals mine. He may look cute, but he is the devil. A couple more. Dear Santa, no cookies for you this year. You need to go on a diet. I want you to be healthy. I do not like it when people call you fat. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. One more. Dear Santa, if you want to grab a beer, feel free to get a lot or just one. The fridge is by the door. It is a fun time. It's a family time. We're talking about family today. Being a giver in your family. I got a picture of my family here. All right. This is actually from last Christmas, a year ago. It's hard to get everybody together. The three kids in the middle are way taller than they were last year. One's 13 and a couple are 14. In fact, the 13-year-old is here with me. She's got a lot of friends here from camp. Camp is awesome. Kids get to know each other, so she wanted to come. It's been a great year. The two 14-year-olds actually both got baptized, one in the spring and May and one in August. But we have a son who lives in California. He's got three kids. He's in the ministry. I got to say, you know him because we sing a lot of his songs. Be with me, Lord. Lead me to the rock. Anchor for the soul, a whole bunch of his songs. His son, oldest, is actually 19. I don't know how I got a kid 19 years old, grandchild. So the youngest is 19. The youngest is in first grade. Mary Lou and I have been married 50 years this coming summer. We got married when we were 12. No, not really. But anyway, that's great. That's enough. We love our family. Two daughters, one son-in-law is from Istanbul, one's from Japan, one's Japanese. So we got a lot of great food in our family. But you know, we're talking today about being a giver in your family. And particularly because it's this time of the year, you know, we always kind of give a disclaimer that the Bible doesn't really necessarily encourage us to remember Jesus' birth, but it did happen. It's significant. We remember his death and his resurrection every Sunday, as we just did, but his birth, in fact, I didn't tell you. Be turning, please, to Luke 1. It is appropriate to think about the birth of Jesus, and I want us to back up a little bit and think about Mary and Joseph as we think about being givers in your family. H- Have you thought about the fact that God had to choose a home for his son to be raised in? A human home for his son to be raised in. What a challenge. You know, when you think about, remember your first child, particularly when you started having to leave him somewhere, daycare or babysitter? I mean, it may have been your own mother, but you still wanted references and a background check. I mean, there's that feeling, well, are you going to take care of him? I remember the first time I took one of my grandsons to the city. He was about 6 or 7. And my daughter said, make sure you hold his hand. Well, a little while later, I get this text from her. How's it going? Are you holding his hand? I started to text back. I raised you. I took care of you. Yes, I did. But I get it. We feel protective. We feel cautious. How must God have felt when he had to pick a man and a woman to raise his son? And you think about what was at stake, like the salvation of the whole world. You know, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered, Hebrews. I don't think that is just talking about the cross. He had to grow up like any other kid and be taught. And so God had to find the right couple, a couple who would be givers of themselves to others. When you look at this passage, it's very familiar, but let's read in Luke 1, beginning in verse 26. When Mary finds out about this, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Well, she's going to get more confused in just a minute here. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will have a child, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in the sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Many scholars think Mary was probably a teenager. And this obviously was pretty mind-boggling, astonishing news. How is she going to explain this to her family, to her friends, to the neighborhood? Do you think it's okay, it's really the Holy Spirit's baby is going to do it? I mean, this is a very challenging situation. This news the angel brings her. We will see in a minute that the angel, in telling this news to Matthew, quotes from a passage in Isaiah about a virgin having a baby. But that passage had not really been a messianic prophecy. It was a short-term prophecy. Isaiah was saying to King Ahaz, before a young woman, before a virgin has a baby, this is going to happen. They look back late at this time and said, oh, that's talking about the Messiah. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting him to be of the line of David. They expected him to be born in Bethlehem. They did not expect a virgin birth. That was not something that was part of their expectation. It was something they looked back on, like some other passages, and said, oh, this also means this. I'm saying that to say Mary was not, I'm the one that's been chosen to be have a virgin birth. But she accepted what she didn't understand because of who she was. I look back at Matthew chapter 1 for a minute, and you see the other side of this story. You know, it's going to say that Mary was pledged to a man named Joseph. Some of the translations talk about betrothed. It was kind of an engagement, not like our engagements. People sometimes get engaged to a bunch of people before they finally get married. But this was binding. It was really an official binding thing, a period of a year before you really got married. But you had to get a divorce to break that. This was a very serious situation to be pledged, to be betrothed. All right, so now, from the husband's standpoint, husband-to-be, Matthew 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, a virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but she had no union with him until she gave birth to a son, and they gave him the name Jesus. You see some things about Joseph's character here too, don't you? When he finds out that Mary is pregnant, the only obvious conclusion he can come to is that she's been immoral. But it says he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, so he was going to take care of this quietly. This is a compassionate man. This is a man who is a server of others. And I think, again, the angel comes and gives him the explanation. I'm not sure they really understood this explanation, but they accepted it. God saw a man and a woman who were surrendered to him, who were obedient to him, who were unselfish in their obedience and submission to him, therefore, who could raise his son and be givers in their family. You know, when we think about being givers, especially at home, especially in their families, I think there's one word that makes it difficult to be givers. What might that be? Somebody's saying it. Selfishness! I get in the way. You know, several years ago, Mary Lou and I were getting with a couple, a young married couple, been married about a year. They'd been in their 30s when they got married. I'm saying that to say they were kind of really extra set in their ways. And they were having a lot of bumps. The brother said, you know, I don't know what happened. I think I got married and became selfish. It was also hard not to laugh. I'm like, well, you know, I think probably you've always been selfish. It just gets exposed all the time now. You know, the brothers where he lived didn't care when he left his socks in the floor and all those other things. You know, we could talk a lot about the specifics of what it means to be givers in our families, in marriage. You know, probably a lot of us have read that Love Languages book. And there's some good things about it, but you can take that thing a couple of ways. You can take it, okay, here's how you're supposed to be loving me, why aren't you? Or, how can I meet your needs? You know, husbands, being givers, it's hard sometimes to get up out of the chair and saying, where's my coffee instead? Wives, it's hard to be a giver sometimes and not nag us because we deserve to be nagged often. You know, as parents, oh my goodness, you think you know how to give till you have a baby, and then when you have another one, you really know you don't know how to anything about it. I mean, I can remember, oh my goodness, I can remember the baby crying in the night, and I'm lying there hoping that Mary Lou will wake up. That's a confession. Our son's 47. That was a long time ago. I hope I've grown since then. Children, teaching them to share, teaching them to give, being given, giving, and the things that they do. This time of year, it's easy to do. I just want to chill. Everybody leave me alone. And you know, at home is where sometimes it's the hardest place to give. I don't always feel like giving. You know, I really wish she could be here today. She's had for the past several months some real serious health issues, not life-threatening health issues, but some kind of debilitating health issues. So she did go to church in New Jersey today. She wasn't able to be out for 3 months. Boy, I had to learn a new level of giving. I thought I'd always been pretty helpful around the house, but all of a sudden it was everything around the house. She's given me a good grade, knock on wood, but boy, there were times I'm like, okay. You know, what does all this have to do with Mary and Joseph? Because they were conscious of God and secure in a relationship with God, they were able to be givers. Joseph had to be a giver. You see his character again, even in his initial reaction to Mary's pregnancy. I want to take care of her. Mary had to be a giver to be a mother of the Son of God, because Mary was at the foot of the cross watching what happened. Just from the sheer practical standpoint, you know, Mary raised at least 7 children. You start thinking about it, there's Jesus. And then he had 4 half-brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, who all became believers. We probably think James wrote the little book of James, and Jude wrote the little book of Jude at the end of the New Testament. That's 5. It says he had sisters. That's at least 2. That's at least 7 kids. All you moms know, you ain't raising no 7 kids without being a giver. And they became believers too. In that assembly in Acts 1, with the people that were left, after Jesus' resurrection, before Peter preached, and God started this incredible fellowship of believers. There was Mary, there were Jesus' brothers. You know, the real motivation to be givers at home is God. It's belonging to God and remembering what God's done for us. We can talk about a lot of practicals, but if I don't get the deeper motivation, it doesn't last. And you know, sometimes we give for the wrong reasons. You know, in family, you got to give without expecting anything in return. You know, sometimes, I don't know, over the years, I think I have helped out a lot. But over the years, I realized I wanted it noticed. I wanted it noticed that I washed the dishes in the sink. Noticed that I unloaded the dishwasher. Well, what is that about? Barely learned to notice it, but that's not really all that great. You know, in family, you have to give when it's not reciprocated. That's true when you have teenagers, huh? I love teenagers, but I'm on the next generation of teenagers now. They don't always give back, do they? You have to give when it's not acknowledged, when it's not returned, sometimes when it's not appreciated. Sometimes if you're married to somebody who's not a Christian, sometimes it's just not accepted even. How are we going to do it? It's because we have a relationship with God. You know, Jesus, as he gave on the night he was going to be betrayed, you know, in the upper room when he washed the disciples' feet, and they were, in a sense, his family, weren't they? And as he went around washing their feet, Judas, Peter, who was going to betray him, they all were going to run away. How could you give then? There's a very significant statement made in John 13. Let me read it to you. It says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God, that he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, began to wash their feet. Jesus, it says, knew who he was with God. And so he could give. So he could serve. I've found to be a giver in my home, whether the times it's just Mary Lou and me, or whether the times that picture, all 17 of us are under one roof for a few days. I got to read my Bible and pray. I need to be connected to God. I don't know what made Mary and Joseph the people they were. Obviously, somebody had taught them about God. Somebody had taught them to be obedient, to be surrendered, even to bring joy in that. You know, and Luke, a little bit later in Luke chapter 2, is what people have come to call the Magnificat. Mary saying, God, I'm so blessed to get to be the mother of this baby. I don't know what motivated them. I don't know how they had that deep security in God so that they could give to the point of Mary at the cross. I do know this. We know more than they knew, because we know about the cross. We know what Jesus grew up to be and what he did for us, as was shared earlier in communion, the change that he brings to our lives, the exposure that he brings to our lives, so we can be changed and forgiven and right with God. We know something they didn't know. We can have a relationship with God in a way that they didn't. How are we going to be givers at home? In the next few days, the holidays are wonderful. Can be stressful too, in case you haven't noticed. Sometimes just can bring out the not so good. How are we going to be givers on an ongoing basis? Husbands, loving our wives. Wives, respecting your husbands. Ephesians 5. Loving our children, being patient with our children. The atmosphere in our home, the tone of voice that we use at home. Sometimes we use a tone of voice at home we certainly wouldn't use on our jobs. How are we going to do that? Goes back to dealing with our unselfishness by going to the cross, doesn't it? Amen. Conscious of the cross. I love the story of Mary and Joseph. It's not just a beautiful little nativity scene. God chose specifically people who were not perfect. They couldn't have been. But to raise the one who was going to be perfect. Wow. And I believe God looked for a man and a woman who would give because they knew him. And that's the only way I can give, is knowing God, knowing Jesus, being conscious of the cross and what has been given to me. When we stop and think about what's been given to us, how sad it is if we don't give. Because so much has been given to us. And I hope in the next few days and weeks, especially as we see those scenes, different places of the baby Jesus, and we think about Mary and Joseph, and think about why God chose them and the important role they had, but why he could choose them. The Bible says God is love. Love gives, doesn't it? And he chose a couple who were connected to him and who would give as he did. And that's our charge. To be conscious of the cross and give. Amen.